Let's just go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you so much for Jesus. You truly are the reason for this season. And as Brother Pastor Carlton said last week, Jesus, you are Christmas and we receive you. Holy Spirit, you are the great teacher. I ask you to cause a revelation, knowledge to erupt within me. May it burst forth like rivers of living waters into the hearts and the mind of these your precious people. Fill my mouth with wisdom and my mind with understanding. Father, I ask you once more to glorify yourself in this place. We give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it is just such an awesome privilege and honor being a part of this body, being a part of this fellowship. You know, this past year, many of us have been through just a lot of hard time. If you have not personally, someone in your family or someone you know have been through a very hard and a very difficult time. Last week, Pastor Carlton was doing an awesome message. And one of the things he was emphasizing that Jesus is Christmas. You know, sometimes we're concerned with someone that says, you know, they put Jesus, they say Xmas. But Jesus is Christmas. Another thing he emphasized last week was the love of God. Sometimes we always, you know, you hear, I was raised in the church, so a lot of time you hear how much I love God, you know, I love God. Well, you know, Peter also said that. Peter said, you know, I'll go with you to prison and even unto death. And if everybody forsake you, I won't. And Jesus said, Simon, before the cock crow, you'll deny me three times. So Peter was there bragging on his love and his devotion to God. And before the cock crow, he was cursing and swearing that he never knew him. Well, you know, John, which his name means Jehovah is gracious, he was the one that called himself five times in the book of John. He called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. So we're not bragging on how much we love God. We are just so thankful for how much he loves us. And in Pastor Carlton's message last week, he was emphasizing God's love for us, not so much our love for God. Because even when we are not faithful, God remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. So we're not focusing on how much we love God. We're thankful how much he loves us. And so we all been through hard time this year. But what I want us to focus on this morning, I'm going to do a message called The Sole Source and Answer of Peace. I want us to focus on this season, God's love for us, the peace that only he can give. So we're going to be talking this morning on the sole source and answer of peace. It's in the Message translation in Hebrews chapter 3, 1 and 2. This has become one of my favorite scripture. And the Message translation, it says, take a good, hard look at Jesus. He is the centerpiece of everything we believe, faithful in everything God gave him to do. So everything we believe, the church, what we believe about our marriage, what we believe, Jesus is the centerpiece of everything we believe, and he was faithful in everything God gave him to do. So even when you and I are not faithful, Jesus remains faithful. And because we're in him, God counts us as one in him. Pastor Carlton had shared something else when it was a question that it says, you know, when we say you and God is the majority, but it's not so much you and God, it's you in Christ. You in Christ is a majority. I thought that was so powerful. I love that. So I wanted to share that. So one of the definition for the word soul, being the only one, functioning independently and without assistance or interference. So Jesus is the sole source and answer of peace. I was driving down the street one day and the Spirit of God said this to me. He said, the solution to humanity's ever-existing problem was packaged in a gift called Jesus and given to mankind. So no matter what problem we go through during the year, Jesus is the solution. Amen. Everything we will ever need is in Jesus. You just can't leave him out of the equation. God gave Jesus as a gift to us. being the only one, so Saul being the only one functioning independently without assistance or interference. In other words, Jesus, he just don't need our help. He did everything for us, and all we have to do is receive him. You understand? He went to the cross by himself. He suffered by himself. He bore our sin. Even on the cross, he said, Father, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Well, God forsook Jesus, so he'll never forsake you and I. Glory be to Jesus. So the word source, the point of origin, foundation, I like this, one that supplies. You know, sometimes you watch the beauty pageant, and when they ask, you know, what would you like? They say, we would like world peace. We'd like world peace. It sounds good, right? But I'm going to share something with you that's not the type of peace you want. You don't want world peace. I'll share what Jesus said, okay? So I like the definition. I looked up peace, and the Hebrew definition, the word peace is the word shalom. One of the definition is safe, well, happy, welfare, health, prosperity, perfect peace. I like this. Rest. All is well. All is well. And the Greek definition, the word is the word E-I-R-E-N-E. Irene means to join, quietness, rest, set at one again. Set at one again. That's real powerful. So let us go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Pastor Carlton shared this verse last week. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forever, the zeal or the passion of the Lord of hosts will do this. The Message translation says, Prince of Wholeness. So that's another word I want us to look at this morning. Peace is the word also wholeness. His ruling authority will grow, and there will be no limit to his wholeness. No limit. It will be no end. So when he promises us peace or wholeness, it's no limit. It is no end. It will grow. Not only it's not just growing, it's growing within us. That peace is growing within us. Isaiah 54, verse 7. I love this. This is from the Good News Bible. God is promising us peace. And he said, for one brief moment, I left you. Now, we could imagine Jesus on the cross. This is a prophecy concerning Jesus, but it's also in us. Whatever Jesus received, he received it on our behalf, so God will never have to forsake us. So he said, for one brief moment, I left you. With deep love, I will take you back. I turn away angry only for a moment, but I will show you my love forever. I love that. I will show you my love forever. So says the Lord who saved you. In the time of Noah, I promised never again to flood the earth. Now I promise not to be angry with you again. I will not reprimand or punish you. God said, I'm not going to be angry with you again. I promise you, I will not reprimand you. I will not punish you. The mountain and hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end. Glory be to Jesus. I will keep forever my promise of peace. So says the Lord who loves you. I want you to see the emphasis on how much time. I highlight 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 times he's saying, I love you. I'm going to love you forever. My love will never leave you. Just bask in that. God loves us. I always have you confess. I didn't have you said it this morning, but you know, I just want to say it. God loves you. with his undying, never failing, unconditional love, and he wants to do you good and make you happy. Now, we see in the book of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 8, the prophecy has come through. It's come true. And he said, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. In other words, when God comes around, when the peace of God, when Jesus comes, you'll never have to be afraid. They say, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news. They're not predicting anymore. They're saying this is good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards man. Notice it's saying peace, goodwill towards man. That's including every one of us. That's including everybody. It didn't say peace, goodwill towards those that's good enough to earn it. It said peace, goodwill towards man. You don't have to be afraid. Christ has come. You don't have to be afraid. Good news is here. And I told you before, good news is not a good prediction. It's not saying when you get your act together, Jesus will come. We were like sheep going astray. We were all sinners when this good news appeared. God didn't wait for us to get our act together. You can't get your act good enough together for Jesus to come. So he just bursting on the scene in our mess. Jesus bursting on the scene and said, good news is here. I'm here not to be angry with you, not to reprimand you. I'm here to take all your mess and give you my glory and give you my righteousness and give you my peace and give you my victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is good news, folks. That is good news. Woo-hoo-hoo. Good news. I'm preaching myself happy right here. Okay, now, we're going to look in the book of John. I'm getting to this point. In John, in the Amplified Bible, John 14 and 27, Jesus is talking about him going to the cross. And he said, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. That word bequeath is the same word we use when someone is leaving a will. You know, so you only can get the benefit that you get from a will is after the person have died, then the attorney will call you in, calling the family member and say, this is will to you. This is will to you. But not only did Jesus die and bequeath us his peace, he came back alive to enforce it. whoever came back alive to enforce their will. So he gave us his will and said, this is in the will. Now I'm going to die because the only way you can receive it is if I die. But I'm going to come back from the dead to make sure you get what I left you. Glory be to Jesus. He says, so he says, peace I leave with you. I bequeath. Now look at this. Not as the world give, do I give to you. So that's what I'm talking about. When we think, okay, we want world peace. He said, now the peace that I leave with you is not like the world peace. The world peace, in order to have world peace, everything must be going perfectly right. But the peace that Jesus left us passes all understanding. You cannot grasp it. Sometimes we said, okay, I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. Beloved, you can't wrap your mind around God's peace. You can't wrap your mind. It passes all understanding. But it's yours. Even when you don't understand it, so you have to just receive God's peace by faith. It is yours. He loves you that much. He's not angry with you. He will not reprimand you. He left you his peace. It's a promised peace. Okay? So he says, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Somebody probably say, okay, see, Brother Philip, he's saying do not. He's giving you something that you got to do. Just hold on a minute. I'll get there. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourself to be fearful, intimidated, cowardly, or unsettled. So this peace that he left with us, we won't be afraid no matter what happened throughout this year. He said, you don't have to be afraid. Don't allow yourself to be agitated or disturbed. You don't have to be agitated. You don't have to be disturbed. Don't be fearful. Don't be intimidated. Don't be cowardly. Don't be unsettled. Okay? So in John chapter 16 and 33, he says, I have told you these things. So he's going to the cross and he's telling them everything that they're going to have. And he said, I've told you these things. Look at this. So that in me, you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation. You have trials. You have distress and frustration. He said, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. He said, you don't have to worry. It's not on you to figure it out. I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of its power to harm you. I've conquered it for you. Beloved, when I look at that, all you can think of is now you can rest. Jesus is not lying to us. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He's telling us about a peace that he left that we cannot comprehend with our mind. So how are we going to get this peace to happen? Now, I wrote this down. The peace of God is not measured by external circumstances. So we know that this is not the world peace, because this is not measured by external circumstances. It is residing deeply in the innermost part of our being. So we know we didn't put that there. We didn't put that there. His peace is residing in the deeply in the innermost part of our being. It is not a fragile sense of peace that can easily be disturbed. Neither is it something we have to fabricate or manage ourselves. That is good. It's nothing that you have to do to fabricate it, and it's nothing that you have to do to manage it. It's just like righteousness. Righteousness is not something we fabricate, or righteousness is something that we manage. We are made righteous by God without anything that we do or don't do. That is the same thing about this peace that I'm telling you about. It's not something that you can fabricate or manage ourselves. This is God's peace, the peace that God himself enjoys. This is the peace that is in us. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and 2, it says, God desires is that we may now increasingly know grace as his divine influence within us and become fully acquainted with the awareness of our oneness. Underline that word oneness in your mind. So God's desire is that we may now increasingly know grace. So grace is what? His divine influence within us and become fully acquainted and aware of our oneness. The way he has always known us is realized in Jesus, our master. In the King James, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Now, when I've always heard that, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, I always assume that grace and peace will be multiplied the more knowledge I have of Christ. That's how you look at it. Grace and peace be multiplied. The more knowledge we have of Christ, grace and peace will be multiplied. Could I just introduce a new way to look at this to you? And you know, you just check in your spirit. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, so you'll know, you know, you measure it out for yourself. So look at this. So look at this now. The word earring pictures a dovetail joint in carpentry. So, Christina, could you put up that dovetail joint for me, please? This is what a dovetail joint looked like. My father was a carpenter. A dovetail joint is the strongest joint in carpentry. It's the strongest joint. When you make a cut like that and glue it together, in order to, you cannot, it's almost impossible, if not impossible, to separate it without tearing one part. It's going to break apart. And that's why they cut it like that. It's locked in together. So, and leave that there, Christina. So the word peace that I'm sharing with you this morning is the Greek word earring. It pictures a dovetail joint in carpenter. Often translate peace. The knowledge of God is not our knowledge of Him. It is God's knowledge of us. He knew us before He formed us in our mother's womb. In this context, no one can ever feel ignored or neglected again. So the peace that God is talking about is His oneness with us that He always knew about us before we were formed in the womb, despite our distraction. Beloved, God is not moved at your idiosyncrasies, your shortcoming, your failure. He's not moved by your distraction. He always knew. It's like He said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. In other words, you've been one with me before you were formed as a fetus into your mother's womb. That's how I see you. That's how I always saw you. I saw you completed in Christ before I lost you in Adam. Regardless of what your mind have told you about yourself, it's a lie. Regardless of what your parents told you about you, it's a lie. Regardless of what your teacher have told you. When I was in the fourth grade, I went up to read before my teacher, and I start stumbling over some words. And my teacher said to me, this was, I grew up in the island of Jamaica. She said, get out of my face and go learn to read with your dumb self. A lot of time, because of what people, peers, because of what maybe a spouse, because of what your teacher or your parents said to you, a lot of time we begin to believe that lie about ourselves. Look at me. I'm up here. I've traveled to New York, been in the fanciest hotel, minister at Madison Square Garden, minister at the Paradise Theater, world changes before 5,000 people. I've been on the internet ministering worldwide. Look at me, the one that the teacher said, get out of my face and go learn to read your dumb self. It didn't matter what she thought about me before God formed you in the womb. Pastor Carton has shared his testimony. He felt insecure. It doesn't matter. God is not looking at that. God is not looking at the dross. Remember how I said, He's looking at the goal. Dan, it doesn't matter what you've been through. God always saw righteousness in you before you were formed into a fetus. That is the peace He's talking about. The oneness, the dovetail joint. When Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace. My peace. You are locked into me. And that's what He was praying. If you read John chapter 17, He says, Jesus was praying and He said, Father, let them understand that they're one with each other, just like you, Father, and I are one. Let them also understand that they are in me, and I am in them, and I'm in you,
So we are made perfect in one, and the glory that I gave you, I gave to them, and the love that you love me with is in them. You love me the exact same way that you love them. Beloved, as Jesus is right now, so are we in this world. You're never gonna get any more righteous. 20,000 years after you've been in heaven, you're not gonna be any more righteous than you are right now. After eternity, you will not be more righteous and more holy than you are right now. But Brother Philip, I don't feel that way. Beloved, it's not what you feel like. It's what God always believed about you before the world began. So what we got to do about it? You just receive that. You just believe that. He's trying to get our mind renewed to what he always knew to be true about us. Oh, glory to God. That's perfection outside of performance. That is perfection outside of performance. We are locked in with Jesus Christ. Your distraction cannot separate you from his peace. Your distraction cannot separate you from his love. Your distraction cannot separate you from his holiness. Your distraction cannot separate you from his righteousness. You are locked in as one with him, and that's how the Father sees you.
Amen.
You are seated right now in the Father's mind. You're seated right now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why are we here in the earth? To encourage one another and stir up. What am I doing right now? I'm stirring up your pure mind concerning what God always know to be true about you.
Amen.
Your mind is pure. You may be able to stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can't stop. You're not going to be able to stop a bird from flying over your head, but you could stop him from making a nest in your hair. And so when something is coming to you and try to stay in your mind, contrary to the truth about God's righteousness and God's holiness about you, don't make him make that nest in your hair. Okay. So look at this now. So the knowledge of God is not our knowledge of him. It is God's knowledge of us. He knew us before he formed us in the womb. In this context, no one can ever feel ignored or neglected. Look at this in Ephesians 2:14. In the Mirror Bible, it said, "It is in him that we are one at peace with everyone. He dissolved every definition of division." Jesus dissolved every definition of division. What we know will put war and divorce out of business. Now what he did, he repealed the law code because it had become so clogged with fine print and footnote that it hindered more than it helped. He took the law out of the way and nailed it to Christ's cross because it was so clogged with fine print and footnote, it hindered more than it helped. The law didn't work in the Garden of Eden. The law didn't work at Mount Sinai, and it's not going to work today.
Amen.
You understand that? So let me tell you the story. I wrote the story down. I was watching this this movie on Gabrielle Douglas. You remember the little gymnast. Okay? So so her trainer was Ling Chao. And he revealed a secret to her. And I mean, I've watched this over and over again. He said, "I want to tell you a secret about gymnastics." And she said, "I didn't know, this is the first I really ever paid attention to the story that she went 2 years to train with this gymnast." And he said, the problem she was having was releasing the bar and grab onto the next bar. So he said, "I want to tell you a secret about gymnastics." She said, "Now? Why you didn't tell me 2 years ago?" He said, "You weren't ready."
So he said, forget about releasing the bar and catching the bar. Don't look at it that way. See yourself as one with the bar. Everything that you did up to this point have brought you to this. You are the bar. You are the catch. You are the air. He says, all eyes are on you. Everything you do was for this point. He said, forget about the past. Forget about the future. It's right now. She said to him, that sounds like faith. He said, but I call it gymnastics. She became the first U.S., first American to win both the team and the overall gold medal. First in history. But she grabbed a hold of something. And beloved, I want you to see this today. I want you to grab a hold of this. You and Jesus Christ, as far as the Father is concerned, are one. You and I are one. It's no difference. The Bible said, you know the Bible say, when a husband and wife is married, there is no longer two, you become one flesh. That's how God sees it. But what did he compare the husband and wife to? He said, it's just like Christ and the church. You may see me, my physical body and physical appearance is dark. I was born in the island of Jamaica. Pastor Carlton, his physical appearance looked light, and he was born right here in Carrollton. But when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he dissolved every definition of distance. He repealed the law code because it was so clogged with fine print and footnote, it hindered more than it helped. Because the Jews saw themselves as the Jews, and they saw themselves separated from the Gentiles. When Jesus came, he tore down the middle wall of partition, and he brought a oneness that the mind cannot comprehend or wrap itself around. And he said, now I am the head and you are the body. Until we see each other as one body, it doesn't matter where I'm from. Now I no longer see myself as a Jamaican. I no longer see myself as a black man. I see myself as the body of Christ. Amen. Until we grab a hold of that reality, my wife always said, we are the body of Christ. God sees us as one, Jesus being the head. Now, we may have different functions. Yeah, like my hand, it functions, it picks this up, and it put this over here. Well, unless I train my foot can't do that. But my foot is fulfilling its purpose. It's taking my body. My eyes is fulfilling its purpose. It's looking at you. My ears is fulfilling its purpose. It's hearing. You see what I'm saying? Your heart got a purpose. But no matter my heart is beating, my hand is doing something else, but it's still one body. As we are. As we are. That's how God sees us. He sees no division anymore. When Jesus came, he did away with the division. And he saw us as one body in perfect harmony at peace. The peace is the oneness. And in Isaiah 26, verse 3, he said, I will keep you completely whole. How do we do this, Brother Philip? Do we have a part? Yeah, if you keep your mind on me, I'll take care of everything else. I'll keep you completely whole as one if you keep your mind steadfast on me. That's all you got to do. You know, in Numbers 21, all they had to do, God said, build a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And if the people that's bitten, if they simply look at it, they'll be healed. Amen. I just want to keep your eyes on Jesus. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Nothing else. Nothing that you do, nothing that you don't do. We have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And he is the one that gave us this peace. This season, I want you to keep your eyes on Jesus. Not the gift that you got or you didn't get or not what you're not able to give. Keep your eyes on Jesus and he'll keep us completely whole. I have a couple of questions I want you to Christina, she's going to put up a couple of questions now. I want you to just, you know, just hang with yourself, talk about this, talk about what you hear today, and just, I'll come back in and talk to you. What's the questions? Based on today's message, what is the difference between Jesus' peace and the world's peace? And how can we enjoy this peace? Just fellowship with each other, and I'll come back and love on you some more. And talk to you about Jesus' peace. Okay, based on today's message, what is the difference between Jesus' peace and the world peace?
Well, first of all, Jesus was not of this world. Everything he said, people didn't understand. He spoke in parables. So when he said, you know, my peace I leave with you and give to you, you know, just enjoy that. And that's the difference between his peace and the world's peace.
Yeah.
But the Bible talks about what's going to happen to the end. You know, he said, don't worry about that stuff. Just believe in me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I kind of illustrate it to as the world, looking at the world's peace. You can look around the world right now and all the nations. Everybody's warring, fighting, and they're all doing it in the name of their God. And they're all doing it in the name of peace. And that's doing, performing, and warring.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' peace is just believing and resting.
Hallelujah.
Receive it and rest.
Praise God. That's good stuff. Yeah. Oh,
one piece is permanent and the other is not.
That's good. That's good stuff. Hallelujah. One piece is permanent and the other is not.
My friend here, I think he stated as good as anything I've seen. World peace is conditional.
World peace is conditional. Cynthia and Donna, y'all have something to say? Come on.
Well, we said that Jesus' peace is a grace or an inner peace, and we felt like world peace was law. To have world peace, you're going to have laws, and it's impossible. We cannot keep all the laws.
So it's not something you could fabricate or manage?
No, because...
Especially not this one.
Hallelujah. I want Pastor Carl to... One of the things I see about peace... It's because people believe in division. It's like the Muslim is fighting against this one. We see each other different. We don't see each other as one. We see black folks. We see white folks. We see Muslim. We see Christian. We see Protestant. We see Catholic. We see the Baptist. We the Methodist. But Jesus in Christ, he sees us all as one. It's like I shared with Pastor Carlton before. When Jesus was saying, upon this rock, I'll build my church, he didn't say, upon this rock, I'll build my churches. He see one church, him being the head. It's not he is the head of the Catholic and the head of the Baptist and the head of the Pentecostal. He's the head of the church. So Pastor Carlton and I were sharing out there, and I think he have something powerful that he wanted to say. Say.
I didn't ask to say it. He wanted me to say it.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, we don't have a problem. The church typically doesn't have a problem with this kind of message when you see those that are saved, that are believers. And I'm telling you, the other week when Philip spoke about communion, some of you as know were raised that, well, unless you're a Christian, you can't partake. Unless you belong, you've been baptized in this church, you can't partake. Well, the first communion that Jesus instituted, who was there? That was one of his questions. Who was there? Judas was there. And we're worried about... You see, he already saw Judas before he was a believer in him. Now, I'm telling you, we're going to struggle with this part, and this church is going in this direction, so you might as well get ready to struggle. That even those that have not believed are still included in everything Christ did. Now, that doesn't make them a Christian. That's the difference between universalism and what we're teaching. We're not saying they're a Christian, but God is not angry with them. He's not mad with them. He's already dealt with that sin problem, and He sees them one. Just as Judas dipped his bread in the wine with the rest of them.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit's going to have to take this to you. But that's back to the peace. Another thing we were discussing is we see that, how many of y'all have ever prayed for peace? Raise your hand. You were fearful, you were turmoil, you prayed, God give me peace. After today's message, is that a good prayer?
No.
Why? Because we already have it. That's trying to enter a room you're already in. It'll drive you batty. Or trying to find a corner in a round room. Y'all have heard that one too. I'm telling you, we need to quit praying like that. The fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. Quit praying for these things and saying, Lord, I'm one with You. We have it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, question two, how do you walk in this tomorrow when the peace is certainly not there because you're focusing on the externals, the relationship's not restored, the bank account still looks terrible, hell, I'm still sick. What are some other issues that rob your peace?
They cut off Fox News off of Disney.
Oh, Lord. The peace is gone. All right. You see what I'm saying? This is easy to high-five God in here and high-five each other, but what about tomorrow? How do you enjoy this peace?
So you think about another thing Pastor Carlton and I were saying. If a limb, if one of your limb is broken or sprained or something like that, does that exclude that from the rest of your body? Even if it's hurting, right? It's still a part of your body. And look at this, what you do. You try to support whatever part of your limb is hurt or broken. You try to support that until it becomes strong enough to function like the other limb. That's what unbelievers are. It's a part of the limb that is broken and needs support until it is in use like the other limb. Selah, pause and think about that. Hallelujah. God loves you. He not only loves us, He loves your unbelieving relatives, and He loves your neighbor and the people on your job that don't see it the way you see it. And He loves those that have addictions and bondage. The Bible said God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting man's sin against them. So if He is not counting their wrongdoing and their sin against them, we being His body, He wants us to see them through His eyes, so we also not count their sin against them. Ooh, you need God's grace to help you with that. Hallelujah. Father, thank You for loving us so much, and thank You for Your word today. We focus on Jesus, looking unto Jesus. We lay aside the law of works, we lay aside willpower, we lay aside a performance-based thinking and a performance-based mindset that tried to distract us from Your grace. And we run this race with patience, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank You for this season. We thank you that our mind can focus only on Jesus. And Jesus, thank You that You already gave us Your peace to guide us through this season. You already gave us Your love to guide us through this season. So we focus on You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.